We have been reminded in the last few weeks that the rulers of this world will hold on to their power regardless of the turmoil around them till they are wrenched by events catapulting around them. Several mayors in Quebec have been exposed to the corruption they are part of. The mayor of Toronto believes that he knows better than the laws of the land and wants to rule with impunity. President Assad of Syria also believes that he can hang on to his throne by sheer force, regardless of the numbers of civilians, lives that are maimed, destroyed, and killed. Their power corrupts, and often they forget that they have been called to rule wisely on behalf of their peoples. But do we also experience corruption in our power in our own lives? Do we unwittingly become pawns in the corporate greed of our culture? Are there those who live in our communities who experience poverty in the midst of abundance and wonder why their opportunities do not appear equal to them? A national report came out this week suggesting that the rates of poverty are exactly the same as they were 10 years ago, in spite of a commitment by various levels of government to lower them. Yet sometimes in our own way, do we act any different? No, I don't think anyone here that frauds their families by skimming kickbacks or killing their neighbors so that their children might have a better life. But do we live completely without this impulse? Do we sometimes live as the corrupt kings of old in that we glibly go on living our consumer lifestyles regardless of who our purchases hurts in other countries? Do we promote the goodness and the welfare of our children, sometimes even at the expense of others? The prophet Jeremiah was faced with kings, both domestic and foreign, who had exploited people. Jeremiah was faced with a people that had disobeyed the laws of the land, which included taking care of the poor, the widow, and the marginalized. The Old Testament had told these kings that was their task, and Jeremiah shows them that they weren't doing it. So the judgment that Jeremiah had predicted for his people had come. And as so often the fact, the people that suffered from the judgment was not necessarily those that had made the judgment necessary. Imagine the suffering of the people whose whole lives had been shaped by their identity of understanding that they were God's people. Before Jeremiah writes the passage which we heard this morning, Jerusalem lay in ruins, they had lost the temple, and their king was in a foreign prison in another country. It seemed that their God was less powerful than the other gods. There must have been feelings of despair, of anger, of loneliness, hopelessness, guilt, and shame, and a rejection by their God. Are there times in each of our lives when we have these feelings? Perhaps when we have lost a loved one, or when our employment situation becomes difficult, or when we face or experience job loss, or when our family life becomes difficult between parents and between generations. Those are the kinds of feelings that the people of Israel had when Jeremiah was writing this during their exile. And in the midst of those kind of feelings, the prophet offers a different word, a word of hope. These words of love from God, when all seems hopeless, when nothing seems to be going right, the prophet says, "The days are surely coming when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch," or you probably learned in King James, root, "to spring up from David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Jeremiah was trying to give a message of hope out of despair. The branch or the phrase from David from Sunday school becomes the shoot. The word shoot you may have heard in Sunday school as well. How many of you had to memorize that for Christmas Eve? Out of a shoot shall come, right? I get lots of nods. For the people of Israel, there was a partial fulfillment when they were brought back from the Exodus a few decades later. Only God could nourish this root, this branch, this shoot. And Jeremiah is saying, I read an article this week where this Old Testament scholar convincingly argued, at least for me, that this branch, this shoot, represents two different power parts of the power structure in Israel, the king and the priest. In Israel, the kings ruled, and the priests provided solace and comfort to the people. But Jeremiah and Isaiah, who also uses the same expression, the shoot of Jesse or of David, means that both king and priest are all wrapped up in one person. And we as Christians have clearly understood this shoot, this root, to come through Jesus Christ. And that is the one whose birth that we are anticipating celebrating. One who both rules and comforts. One who both governs our lives and walks with us in the midst of our despair. This morning we have given expression to that hope in the midst of despair. In spite of the daily struggles of our lives, this group of parents has affirmed that their desire is to raise their children to know the one who wishes to be king in those children's lives, giving them guidance to know right from wrong and to eschew all other kings. This group of parents, with your help and agreement, has decided to raise their children knowing Christ as king, the Christ the king that counters the values of the world, that against the kings of consumerism, to raise their children to know Christ the king that offers a different way of placing ourselves at the center of the universe, as did the kings of self-aggrandizement, and to raise their children to know Christ as the Prince of Peace, rather than bowing down before the kings of violence that teach us might is right, and that we are only secure with weapons and armies and armed alliances. Yet it is also in this shoot or in this branch of the living God is not only a king, but a priest. And so these parents, along with your commitment to walk with them in this way, chose also to bring up their children knowing that the high priest, Jesus our Lord, can comfort in times of strife, can walk with us in times of sorrow, can carry us in all of our lives, even when it seems bleak and the future seems not discernible or possible. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, as two in our midst also affirm their lives, they're bound to this King of Kings, this Priest of Comfort. We too can examine our commitments in affirming our faith in the one who wishes to be both our King and our Priest, who offers both direction and comfort, rules for living and forgiveness when we don't measure up, justice and mercy. And the same waters that nourish this shoot of Jesse, of David, become the waters of baptism, which binds Chris and Tabitha to this shoot, this branch. And each one of us have made, who have also made this commitment. And so on this first Sunday of Advent becomes each one of us an opportunity to commit or recommit to this living branch, this living shoot, that wishes to both rule our lives for God's purposes, not the world's, and offer us comfort in our griefs and our sorrows and our struggles. For those who have not made this commitment, or perhaps truly have made it but not formally, is this the Advent a time when you wish to consider joining this branch, this shoot? In the new year, we will provide another opportunity to join a faith exploration class. And whether you are 17 or 77, you are welcome to explore that in such a class. In these next few weeks, in this Advent time, we are invited to experience God's flood of mercy as we are reminded of God's greatest mercy to us in the gift of the birth of Jesus and the reminder of Christ's ultimate return in glory to dry every tear, to lift every burdened soul up, to bind each brokenhearted. May we experience Advent as a reminder to our commitments, or as we are called to commitment, the shoot of David, who wishes to rule our lives where love reigns, where the wrong is righted, where conflict can find peace. And may we experience Advent as a reminder of the shoot of branch of David that wishes to walk with us in our conflicts, heals our wounds, and walk with us in our darkest doubts. The choir will introduce us to the theme song for Advent, which on subsequent Sundays we will sing as a congregation, Wade in the Water, before we enter this time of baptism.